bima la yurdillah. That means talking a lot about things that Allah is not pleased about. So things that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we talk a lot about those kinds of things which are displeasing Allah, this causes qaswatul qalb. The seventh factor, or you can, you know, if you make it shorter, is al-israru al-dhamb. That means doing one sin after the other without doing tawbah in the middle. If we keep on doing the sins, God forbid, without doing the tawbah in the middle, this is going to cause qasawatul qalb. And the next thing is al-istima' ilal-lahw wal-aghani. That means listening to the lahav and things which engage us away from the remembrance of Allah. Anything and everything that engages us away from the remembrance of Allah is categorized to be lahav. And I gave you the example of what my teacher Ayatullah al-Udma Sheikh Jawad al-Tabrizi said in his fatwa. That was his fatwa, that clapping, for example, is the sign of lahav. So obviously not every mujtahid says that, but in his fatwa it was misdaq of lahav, and that's why it's not allowed in his fatwa. So the next, and likewise aghani means ghina, and the haram songs, if those who engage in this kind of behavior, they should get ready for having the qasawatul qalb. The next thing was having friendship, musadaqatul zalama, having friendship with the zalimeen, those people who have links with the zalimeen and terms, and they are having good terms with the zalimeen, relationship with the zalimeen, they must understand that this is going to cause, and likewise the fasideen and fasiqeen, and those people who have bad morality, bad akhlaq, if we have friendship with those people, then it is going to bring qasawatul qalb in our heart. The next factor was kasratul mal. The ninth one was kasratul mal, abundance of money, if a person is not ready to spend it in the way of Allah. If a person performs his fara'id towards the money, then it's not a problem. But if a person piles up the money and ignores his fara'id towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this kind of kasratul mal, abundance of money in this form, will cause qasawatul qalb, stone-heartedness. And last of all, the tenth of the causes which causes qasawatul qalb is the kasratul dhihk wal istihza bil akharin. That means a person who laughs a lot. In Islamic morality we have tabassum, kana dhahkuhu at tabassum. Prophet's laughing was smile, so instead of laughing he used to smile. So dhahk and laughing is not appreciated in Islam. It's a sign of ghaflat. It's a sign of ghaflat from what lies ahead of us in the alam al-barzakh. Ghaflat about what lies ahead of us in alam al-akhirah. If we pay attention to that, it does not leave any room for a person to be laughing and rejoicing. So instead we are supposed to have tabassum. When we are happy, we smile. So, didn't the Prophet say in his hadith, لو علمتم ما أعلم, right? If you knew what I know, لا ضحكتم قليلا ولا بكيتم كثيرا ولا هانت عليكم الدنيا ولا آثرتم الآخرة. If you knew what I knew, what I know, you would have been laughing less and crying more, and dunya would have become, you know, no importance for you, in other words, and you will give preference to Akhirat. So dhahak and laughing a lot, our scholars of akhlaq say, it brings the qasawatul qalb, stone heartedness. Likewise, istihza means making fun of others. So making fun of others is obviously one of the harams in Islam. It's not permitted at all, and it causes qasawatul qalb as well. Now the ilaj, that means the cures and the solutions that Islamic morality has provided for the spiritual illness of qasawatul qalb. The first treatment that Islam provides is al-istima' lil-Qur'an wa qira'atihi wa tadabbur fi ayatihi. That means we listen to the Holy Qur'an. We have stories about people who have newborn babies lying in the cradle in the mahad, and they put the Qur'an, audio cassette or CD, whatever, and the Qur'an is running. Obviously, we don't do this kind of thing for the adults, because if the adults of the people are working in their houses or in the kitchen and then you run the Quran, we have to pay attention to the Holy Quran. It's not appropriate that we let the Quran running and we are not paying attention to that. This is not appropriate. But for the baby, it's okay. Baby is not supposed to do anything else, isn't it right? So it's very good, and we have stories where people and the ulama, some of those ulama have done this, and the impacts that the baby had over this, because listening to the Holy Quran is also ibadat and it has its own spiritual impacts. Especially also for the adult people who pay attention to the Holy Quran, listen to it, and they think about the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is going to bring a person back on the straight path and the track from the stage of qasawatul qalb. The second treatment and cure for the qasawatul qalb is al-iksaru min ad-du'a wa at-tawassul. Our scholars of akhlaq say that those people who have this situation should be doing a lot of du'a and tawassul towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, obviously, who are the real wasila. And with that tawassul and dua and khushu towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is a chance of returning back. If we do it sincerely, we will return back to the straight path and get out of that stage of forgetting Allah and ignoring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third cure for the qasawatul qalb is listening to the maw'idha and nasihat. Maw'idha and nasihat. Ya ayyuhal ladheen, ya ayyuhal nasu qad ja'akum maw'idhatum min rabbikum. So even the Holy Quran is serving as a maw'idha from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us. So it's a nasihat. When you read the Holy Quran and the ayat of Quran, it brings provides the nasihat and advice for the person to get reminded. So maw'idha and nasihat is something especially we do it in front of the ahlullah, those scholars, those personalities who are awliyaullah and those who have the remembrance of Allah all the time. Like I was mentioning the story of Shaykh Rajab Ali Al-Khayyat rahmatullah alayhi, this great waliullah and great servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who had this mu'jiza of Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam towards him. So it is narrated in his story that he was just using something to blow wind over him. It was hot weather, he was using something to blow wind over his face. Obviously, we feel good. We have good ihsas of happiness and rahat and comfort. So as soon as he had the ihsas and feeling of comfort with that, he said, it is narrated, he said, وَأَسْتَغْفِرُكَ مِنْ كُلِّ لَذَّةٍ بِغَيْرِ ذِكْرِكَ. And I seek maghfirat, yeah, forgiveness towards you, he said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from every ladhat and pleasure without your remembrance. So awliyaullah are like this. They don't want anything to engage them away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his zikr and remembrance. Even this little thing, which it, sometimes we don't even pay attention to these things. Isn't it right? So, but he's saying that, وَاسْتَغْفِرُكَ مِنْ كُلِّ لَذَّةٍ بِغَيْرِ ذِكْرِكَ وَمِنْ كُلِّ رَاحَةٍ بِغَيْرِ أُنْسِكَ. And I seek, you know, a refuge. I seek your forgiveness from every comfort which is without your uns and getting familiar with you, without having familiarity and acquaintance with you. We don't want any comfort which is away from your acquaintance. وَمِنْ كُلِّ سُرُورٍ بِغَيْرِ قُرْبِكَ. And I seek forgiveness of yours from every closeness which is without, you know, every happiness which is without your closeness. Without getting taqarrub and closeness and qurbat of Allah, if we are feeling happy over anything else in our life that is not causing us qareeb and more close to Allah, we should seek refuge of Allah from that and seek forgiveness. He's seeking forgiveness from that. وَمِنْ كُلِّ شُغْلٍ بِغَيْرِ طَاعَتِكَ. And from every engagement other than your obedience. That means if we are doing anything else which is engaging us in itself, and that thing is not an obedience of Allah, he is seeking forgiveness of Allah from that. So if we should engage ourselves in things which are ta'at and obedience of Allah, and that causes us to become further close, having more acquaintance, and you know, we should seek rahat and comfort through the acquaintance and uns of Allah and through the remembrance of Allah at all times. And that should be the real lazzat and real pleasure that a mu'min should strive for, not anything else. So this is how the great personalities are, and they are basically leading their lives in this kind of remembrance of Allah. And if person has this kind of remembrance, it becomes easy in that case to, you know, when you have this kind of remembrance, you will never end up in doing a haram, you'll never end up in doing any ma'siyat, and you will always be pleased with the pleasure and the rida of Allah and his decisions towards our life. So what I was saying is that the third cure that the scholars of akhlaq have provided about the qasawatul qalb is al-istima' lil-maw'idha, listening to the nasihat. Nasihat of obviously those people who are ahlullah, those people who belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't it right? We have people who are ahlul dunya, and we have people who are ahlul akhirah, and we have people who are ahlullah. They don't care about neither dunya, nor do they care about akhirat. So that's the kind of people we are talking about, ahlullah. So people who are, you know, who belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are the real ones who are deserve to provide nasihat to us. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam was like this. He never paid attention to neither this dunya, iltifat and tawajjuh and attention. Not for a moment he never paid attention towards neither dunya nor the akhirat. You know, because he considers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being enough for him. So this kind of ma'rifat and this kind of behavior towards Allah, where we don't care about neither dunya and nor the akhirat. So we find that the next ilaj and cure for the treatment of the spiritual illness of qasawatul qalb that we are discussing tonight, stone heartedness or worse than that, is learning the adab and etiquettes of Islam. If we learn the adab and akhlaq of Islam, this will empower us to perform the fara'id of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correctly and avoid the qasawatul qalb. One of the reasons why we end up having the qasawatul qalb in our life is because of the fact we don't know the akhlaq and the qiyam and the values and the adab and etiquettes of Islamic morality, which is applying in every field of life, as social or political or personal or financial. Every field of life has certain adab and etiquettes and akhlaq and morality. Alhamdulillah, after the Islamic revolution, we find that the this thing has been expanding. Alhamdulillah, which is one of the points that our Islamic houses need to expand and work on more efficiently is about the social and political aspects of the human society and the Islamic Ummah. Alhamdulillah, after the Islamic revolution, we find more and more scholars who are more engaged in the society, more engaged in the umur and ijtima'iyya and siyasiyya, the political and social duties of Islam, and providing and delivering their role more efficiently towards the fara'id in the social and political fields of Islam, so that we can provide the solutions to the everyday issues of the human life. And people do not resort to the tawaghit. If the scholars are not ready to provide solutions, then obviously how can the people do ibadat and worship of Allah? What are the people supposed to do in those matters? Obviously something has to be done. If we don't provide in Islamic way, the solution is not provided towards the social and political affairs, that leaves the maidan open for the taghuts to come and play and attract the masses towards their agendas. So, one of the very beautiful books on the subject, just for your information's sake, I would definitely like to mention, is the book of Ayatullah al-Uzma al-Imam Baqir al-Sadr rahmatullah alayh, where he say, al-Islam yaqudul hayat, and Islam leads the life, and that's where he talks about the concept of the leadership in Islam and the concept of marji'iyyat in Islam and the role of the mujtahid in Islam. What, bishaklin aam, in the general sense, what does Islam expect from the mujtahid? What role Islam and Allah is expecting from a mujtahid? This book is an eye-opener, which every Shia should study that book, so we understand that what kind of leadership role Allah is expecting from a mujtahid to play in the society on the khat and the seerat and manhaj of Anbiya and A'imma alayhimu salatu wassalam. The next cure that the scholars have mentioned about the qasawat illness of qasawatul qalb that we are discussing tonight is musadaqatu ashabil khulqil hasan wal ulama, hanging around with the scholars and those people who have good morality. If we live and talk and sit and hang around with people who have good akhlaq, it will definitely impact upon us. Just like if we hang around with people of bad morality, it will also definitely have an impact upon us. So that's why we don't hang around with those people except for the sake of Amr bil Ma'roof and Nahi anil Munkar. We don't befriend them. We befriend those people who have taqwa and akhlaq. And hanging around with ulama obviously brings a person to end up having the makhafat and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't it right? So when somebody asked Prophet Isa alayhi salam, Ya Ruh Allah man nujalis, which kind of people we should hang around with? And he replied that man yuzakkirukum Allah ru'yatuhu. Isn't it right? Whose ru'yat makes you remember Allah. وَيُرَغِبْكُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَمَلُهُ, and his action makes you eager and raghib towards akhirat. وَيَزِيدُ فِي عَمَلِكُمْ مَنْطِقُهُ, and his action increases his talk increases in your actions. So living, hanging with the scholars and people of good akhlaq. And the next thing that the scholars of akhlaq say is participating in the Salatul Jama'ah. Salatul Jama'ah has extremely high level of importance in Islam, even if there are two people available anywhere or in a house, they should be holding Salatul Jama'ah. Even if they're husband and wife only in the house, you don't have kids, nobody else present in the house, every husband is supposed to be ahl and eligible enough to be the Imam al-Jama'ah in his house. If you are not able, Islamically, spiritually able to leave the Jama'at of the five time prayers, then what kind of baligh and grown up are you? That means you are physically baligh, but spiritually you are a baby. Isn't that right? You're not even eligible enough to lead the Salatul Jama'at that you do five times a day. And you cannot even lead that to your wife. What kind of wali and sarparast and guardian and head are you? Guardian and head for what? And you cannot lead her in spirituality. What else can you lead her about? So some people are babies in their spirituality, or worse than babies, because babies are not eligible to even lead because of their age. Isn't it right? But these people are eligible, but they're still not ready to lead because they don't have the caliber. Isn't it right? So we need to be very mindful about this fact that there has to be Jama'at taking place excuse me, in every house. And the husbands are supposed to lead their wives. Even if there are ladies present in the house, there has to be one sister who should lead the Jama'at prayers for the rest. So the shara'it of Jama'at should be fulfilled, obviously. What I am talking about is that there has to be people who are fulfilling those shara'it available, and there, so that we can have the Jama'at. So two people, if there are two people present in Jama'at, Imam and the Ma'mum, the leader and the led, the person who is led is called Ma'mum, the Imam and the Ma'mum. If there are two people in Jama'at, Imam and Ma'mum, then the sawab of every rak'at is 150 salat. Every rak'at that you pray, the sawab of every rak'at according to the hadith al-mu'tabar, authentic hadith, is every rak'at of your Jama'at will have the sawab of 150 prayers. And if there are three people, one imam and two people who are under his imamat doing the Jama'at, total three people in the Jama'at, then sawab of every rak'at is equal to 600 salat, 600 prayers. And it moves on and on and on until the time the hadith says, if there are 10 people in the Jama'at, then if all the heavens, samawat, asman ha, all the heavens turn into papers, and all the trees convert into pens, and all the humans plus the jinns plus the angels convert into the writers, and all the oceans convert into ink, they can still not write the sawab of that Jama'at. So it's a very big statement, because humans are billions, isn't it right? And then there are so many of the jinns, and malaika are way more than the humans. We don't even know how many angels are there. Countless. Isn't it right? Prophet has says that with every drop and qatra of the rain, an angel comes down. With every drop of the rain, there's an angel coming down. Who can count the number of angels? There's a very big statement that if there are 10 people present in the Jama'at, you cannot even imagine the sawab of that much. So there's so much nuraniyat surrounding the person. لَوْ يَعْلَمُ الْمُصَلِّي مَا يَخْشَاهُ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. Amir Muminin alayhi salam says in his hadith, لَوْ يَعْلَمُ الْمُصَلِّي مَا يَخْشَاهُ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ مَا رَفَعَ رَأْسَهُ مِنَ السُّجُودِ. If the person who is praying, he understands what sort of rahmat is surrounding him, he would not raise his hand from the sajda. Look at the nuraniyat that is surrounding the person and during the salat. So our scholars of akhlaq say that we are discussing tonight the qasawatul qalb, the spiritual illness of becoming stone-hearted, or even worse, salatul jama'at. So there's a reason why the scholars of akhlaq say salatul jama'at is one of the cures. If we participate in the salatul jama'a, it will help us to revive and come back to the straight path and retrieve our nuraniyat back again, and there is a chance of removing the qasawatul qalb. There are a couple of more factors which are remaining. Inshallah, we will continue the discussion and then move on to the next value of Islam. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin.